Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Over the past few days, we have been having a tough conversation with Susan Stacy. She's the founder and the director of the Fountain of Hope Ministries, located in Phoenix, Arizona. Susan ministers to the victims of prostitution and those caught in the sex trafficking industry. And as this series wraps up, we obviously know that pornography doesn't lead all men into prostitution. But see, if we stop there, I think we miss the heart of the problem. And the problem is this, is that women are created in the very image of God. They are not sex objects. And as you read Genesis 1 and 2, you'll see that not only is a woman created in the very image of God, but she is the pinnacle of his creation. As Christian men, oh my goodness, we need to hear this loud and clear, guys, that we are to protect them. We are not to lust after them or abuse them or take something from them that's not theirs. And if we need an example of what a perfect man looks like and how he treats women, just read the Gospel of John, chapter 4 and chapter 8, and how Jesus dealt with this woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, and also the woman who was caught in adultery. I would also like to mention here a resource from our friends at Covenant Eyes. It's a pamphlet, and it's called Stop the Demand, The Role of Porn in Sex Trafficking. You can visit CovenantEyes.com for more information and to order that. In today's podcast, we're going to discuss several things. Number one, what does it look like to be a first responder in this area of sex trafficking? And number two, how God broke my heart while I was visiting Susan's ministry one day. Today's show is titled, Fighting the Demand of Sex Trafficking.
The Fountain, we're first responders. And so we're a touch of hope for them. We're a touch of acceptance. And there's other people doing good things. So our part is, you know, to be there in the middle of the crisis and just offer them some kindness and be different. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we've landed. What we're building is a different look. And they, most of them ask us if we're, you know, why are you doing this? And then we'll tell them we're Christians from, and we'll, which church are you from? We're from all over the place. And so, and some of them have a lot of strong Christian background. And they've got an image that I can't correct in a week.
Sure.
Of God. And that's actually, I don't even really believe that's my job anymore. I used to think I had to stand up for God. But it's just like, if I minister grace to them, then it's a touch of God in their life. Mm.
Over the years, what has been the community's response to you going? Because word gets out, obviously,
right,
of the place that you've been in. What's the response to what you're doing? Is there?
Yeah, it's, I mean, with the girls, they've definitely invited others at times, because then they realize there's enough food for more than one person, which is the survival. There's more than enough toothbrushes for everybody that comes, as of God's provision. And so they'll invite each other. I think that generally the church, different churches, have a hard time with this. You know, it's right outside the door, but it's hard to admit, and maybe they don't know what to do. And some of the inner city churches are really struggling. I don't have all the answers for that. I know that we need the body of Christ, because there is a time that they may walk into a church and need to have some understanding and not a lecture. You know, and not only that necessarily people would lecture them, but it's more like try and shape up, you know, and here's four steps to shape up. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
That's the thing. A simple solution is not going to work.
Yeah.
They're going to take a lot of care, like having a child. You know, they're going to have to be nurtured and relearn pretty much what they've learned.
What would you say to the men that are watching this stuff and they really haven't put two and two together, and they're listening to this podcast, and God's softening their heart right now and opening their eyes? What would you say? What would you say to our brothers?
Wow. I mean, my heart breaks for these girls, the condition they're in. And if you really saw them as a human being, yours would too, because deep down, Christ, that's the way Christ feels about them, as he loves you. He loves us all, but it's a hard thing to be on the end that I'm on. And I suppose I'd plead with you and even beg you to get help and to stop, you know, if you are at that place. But anything can be stopped with God's help. We know that. I mean, we're all such a mess without God. And he wants to restore, and there could be a time that you're part of that restoration part as you keep walking with God and get freed up and help other men to see, and especially young men. We've got this culture now that is, I'm not sure it's new, but it's certainly at the forefront, that really denigrates women and puts them in a place that they're sexual beings. And I really encourage you, any way you can, you know, first it all starts with us, is to really reconsider that. And the culture we're raising our boys in, to really think of women as intelligent and all the different things that they are, just like men are. We're not just sexual. That is a part of what God has created men and women to be, but it's a small part. I remember when I worked at the prison, I would tell the women, I said, look, you had sex every day for 15 minutes. That's 1% of your life. You know, so let's get.
Oh my goodness!
Let's get that part in order.
Yeah, let's check that.
Let's check that.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more, and you have a lot to give.
I remember you invited me down to look at the fountain, and we prayed there, and I just sense the Lord just being in that place, because it's so special, Susan, that you do what you do and you minister. And then a few months later, we had our group, our nonprofit roundtable group that we meet every month. We actually met at your place. And I was so overcome with sorrow. And here's what I did. I equated those 20 years of viewing pornography and doing the things that I did, and I realized that that's really, it's just abuse. I watched abuse happen. I watched these things happen to these women. And then it occurred to me, like, those exact women that I was watching this stuff for entertainment are the very people that were sitting on the same couch that I was sitting on with you as we were praying, and they were walking these halls. I think that's my prayer for those of you who are listening, is that this is not just fantasy world. There are very real people, real consequences. And not only that, but it's, if you've got children, that this generational sin, it needs to be broken, and it can be broken by you. But it also starts with you. Because here's what I found. If we don't exit this spiral of lust and pornography and sex, we will end up doing something that we never, ever thought we would ever do.
Right.
It may take 10, 20, or 30 years, but Susan, those are the guys that are in my office. And I think what really has struck me now is that the very women that you minister to, some of those men end up in my office and their sin is against the very woman that you're ministering to. So this is all very messy, and I'm just kind of I'm just talking out loud, but we got a lot of work to do as men. I think for this problem, it starts with men. It starts with men in the church. What's it look like to be a man? What's it look like to look a woman in the eyes? And like you said, sexuality is such a small part of mankind, really. It's not the only thing associated with marriage. Just because that you've sinned in the past doesn't mean that you need your day can be very, very different tomorrow when it comes to this stuff. You don't have to pass this stuff down. You know what I mean? You don't have to pass this stuff down to your kids.
Right. Right. And don't make excuses, you know, the very old adage, boys will be boys and all that stupid stuff. It's like, to me, it's like, no, you're a man of God. There's more in you than making those bad choices and sinning and hurting yourself and those around you and strangers, because you may not know these women's real name, and they may be smiling right at you because they know somebody's watching them that's going to take all their money and they won't have a toothbrush. So when you next clean your teeth, remember that. What was normal has become abnormal. Their lives are totally abnormal. And you're not the only one that they're having sex with. I want to tell you this. This is, to them, it's a revolving door. And it's survival for them. It's not relational to them.
And isn't that interesting? Because what God says is that sexuality and marriage are two sides of the same coin. And it's about a relationship. It's about an intimacy through community. Sex is not supposed to be done in isolation. It's not supposed to be done outside the covenant of marriage. And that's a great way to say it, is that this is not anything but, it's just a job for them.
Right.
Right.
Right. And you're so much more than that. So part of you has to rise up and say, I'm so much more than this. I don't know how you're going to do that, because I'm not God. I just know that he's capable and he's willing to help us rise up above our besetting sins. I mean, it's not easy. He tells us it's going to be a very narrow road and that we're going to have to release the baggage, and many times often, but he's there. And we can grow in him. Nothing is impossible with God, and that applies to this sin.
That is so true. It's, and here's the thing. We think that that God doesn't want anything to do with us when we're involved in this. And I want us to think that it's the Lord himself got his arm around us, and he's walking us through this stuff, and he's dealing with our shame. And there's a reason that we modify, or we go to this particular sin to deal with life. And I guess my prayer is that we realize kind of where we are before we get to the place to where they get inside your world, Susan.
Yeah.
So how can we pray for you and the fountain? How can we pray for you and the girls?
We need God's wisdom, because we've got a criminal aspect to all of this if it's a juvenile, and believe me, there are much stiffer charges. There's all sorts of ways to track down potential buyers on the internet now. Our Phoenix Vice and other vice departments, I was in Tucson on Saturday, there is a lot of tracking going on, so I don't know if that helps you. Sometimes little deterrents like that can be really helpful. The laws are changing that are for the girls, and not calling them hoes and prostitutes, and they're getting large sentences. And so things are shifting, and God has got his eye on this, and he's exposing it. So that is not my first call, is that everybody will be exposed, but if that's what it takes for our city, then that's what it takes. I would rather see repentance. So for us, just for the wisdom of God, how to serve what we call our girls and to love on them, really for his wisdom. Obviously, we're a nonprofit. Finances are wonderful. We need all sorts of supplies and things that we buy and give to them.
Sure.
And we have retail space, too. And then there's me manning the ship here, and I do sex trafficking training and awareness. So there's you ever want to put a group together and get some more awareness and have some prayer over it, that would be my pleasure.
And to be able to train church leadership
absolutely
as well, right?
Yeah.
Mm. So Susan Stacy, the Fountain of Hope Ministries. And once again, the address is www.thefountainaz.com. Is that right?
That's right. And you can also call me if you'd like to chat, 480-654-8063.
Susan, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Gentlemen, did you catch Susan's prayer for you? She said that she wants you to know that if you're involved in pornography or any other form of sexual sin, that nothing is too hard for the Lord. What's Susan talking about? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say that, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Then the Lord said to Moses, has my arm lost its power? Now you're going to see whether or not my word comes true. The prophet Jeremiah writes, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Jesus looked at the disciples intently and he said, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God, everything is possible. So let me ask you, do you believe that? That with God, everything is a possibility. Why not? Is it because you're alone? Is it because you're walking this journey alone? You don't have any friends to come alongside of you? Well, that's why this podcast exists. That's why this ministry exists. So I want to encourage you to jump on dustindaniels.org and get plugged in. To learn more about Susan and the ministry of the Fountain of Hope, visit TheFountainAZ.com. Lastly, I'm excited to share with you that my new book, it's called The Sex Spiral, is now available for pre-order, and also the audio workbook series is also available on the website at DustinDaniels.org. Just click on store, check those things out. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor, and you can email me your questions at dustindaniels.org. Remember what Jesus said here. He said, the pure in heart will see God. How awesome, how unbelievable, how cool is that? Well, walk worthy today, my friend. Cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.